This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
George, he got it. Paul George starting to feel it in this fourth.
And Paul George didn't basically do anything up until that little stretch of the fourth quarter. The LA Clippers still handle the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, I said the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. 109-97, because that felt just like Green Bay to start off. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, now joined by Bobby Bell, along with Peyton and Rai in the back.
Yeah, this is... everything was working your direction. Like, you felt like you had momentum heading into this playoff series, and you felt like this was as good as the matchup has ever set up for you. And then you get, right before tip, you get the news, Kawhi's out too. It's like, this could not be any better of a setup for us. I think when I had looked at it, I was looking at betting line movement. Dallas was opened +1.5 for the first game. And by tip off, when Kawhi was out, it was like Dallas -4 or something like that.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it was 1.5 all week.
And then it swung to Dallas pretty heavily after Kawhi was out. And so it's like, yeah, this sets up really nice for you. And I don't know what it was. It was like the first two or three shots Luka took in this game where I was like, uh-oh. Like, this doesn't – it was very early, but it's like Luka's taking shots that look like he's settling early. Like, it's almost like they look like heat checks right out of the gate.
Yeah.
And then it was like three straight possessions of Zubats just working Gafford, and you were like, crap, this might be a long day, actually.
It was a very long day. This was the worst shooting performance that I can't remember one. I can't remember a worse first half. I can't remember more emasculating first half. It just was. I mean, like, they literally played this game like they'd never played a playoff game before.
Zubats genuinely, on the start of this game, like the opening quarter, he genuinely looked like a guy who heard everybody blaming him for the last series.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my fault? Okay. Well, I'll show you. Was working Gafford early, and then Gafford gets into foul trouble. Lively came in, played a little better early on, but, I mean, it was just, when Zubats is working like that, when Harden is... old school Harden putting up, you know, 30-foot threes and knocking them down. It's like, okay, this is you don't need Kawhi Leonard out there. You don't need playoff P, as Paul George calls himself. You don't need all that, because they're gonna work you regardless, especially when there aren't any shots that are going down.
Harden and Russ early on had 30. The entire Mavs team had 30. Harden at the half, 20 points, 4 of 6 from three. It's +23 on the floor. More points than Luka and Kyrie combined. So, what's the worry level?
I mean, there's a much bigger worry, obviously, today than there was, you know, at least for me, when I'm thinking of Mavs in 5, baby. Because they did this without Kawhi. If they beat the Mavs with Kawhi, whatever, right? The fact that Kawhi wasn't there and they still played like this, those guys played that they were a few years younger than they are. That is not a young team over there. But there's a worry level. The Mavs played a style. They played like the Thunder. Like, I expected the Thunder to play, a team that had never been to the playoffs, that had no experience.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed in how they came and they approached the game. And I think Kyrie talked about that. Like, they were not focused enough. They were not ready.
Kyrie on the first half struggled to score with 8 points in the second quarter.
In a playoff game, scoring 8 points feels like forever. That's what it felt like out there. And I think it started with just how we started off the second quarter and allowed them to feel very comfortable in that first quarter, and there was carryover. So I think we got to give them credit for hitting shots and doing the right things and capitalizing off our turnovers and also our lack of physicality. So it was a combination of a lot of those things where we allowed them to feel comfortable on the offensive end, and then defensively made it easier just in terms of our spacing.
And then you can ask how much of a pass you give them for rust. As we were talking about the necessary days off for Luka and others, but especially him.
Oh, I think that that plays into it. I mean, he had, what, 9 days since they last played? 8 days? I think that absolutely plays into it. But, you know, and rust sometimes goes away after a quarter or two. And it did. I mean, they played much better in the second half. Now, how much of that was the fact that the Clippers maybe took their foot off the gas a little bit and they weren't playing as locked down as they were in the first half? Because that was a much better defensive performance in the first half by them than the second. But I think the rust absolutely plays into it. I don't think there's any question about that.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Missed that many days.
Yeah, I mean, there's some level of it, I'm sure, but man, rust can't completely explain away. Like, you're just missing bunnies. Like, you're missing layups, you're missing open shots. Reggie had tweeted it yesterday, and I thought it was a good point, where I think it was early in the third quarter, they go for the lob to Derek Lively, and it gets broken up, and they're not able to finish it. And it's like, man, if that play, which is a bread and butter, easy lob it up, dunk it. Like, that's one of the things they do really well, and it's one of the things they can fall back on. When that's not going your way, like, you don't have anything. And that's the one, not silver lining, but the one thing that makes me optimistic going forward is they can't play worse. They just can't. Like I mean, it's like, okay, you got that all out of your system. If you play just any better, which they're going to, like, it's a more competitive game. It's not like the Clippers felt like they were just world beaters in this game to me. It's just they were awful and LA did their job.
This isn't a game though where I'm like, oh, the Mavs had it, like they beat themselves. They were not missing just wide open shots and wide open layups to the point where you're like, all right, the Clippers, like they gave the Clippers one. Like, the Mavs 1,000% deserved to lose that game. And I take it to the approach early on. When Michael Jordan was playing the second half of his career, the media had a fascination with asking the question, what's Michael going to do before this big game? Is he going to facilitate? Is he going to get others involved? Or is he going to get his? Is he going to go ahead and be aggressive and go out there and score? And I kind of wonder the same thing about Luka Doncic. What is Luka going to do? But more importantly, how is he going to do it? When Michael chose to score, right? Different league. He's not Steph Curry, not really a three-point shooter. So he was still going to attack. He was always going to shoot mid-range, but he was also going to try to go to the basket. And I was really disappointed in Luka yesterday for just bombing away and firing up from deep. He can get inside anytime he wants. He can back down anyone he wants at any point in time. And it reminded me of a regular season game earlier this year. And I think it's the one where Luka was like atrocious from the field. It was his worst shooting game of the entire regular season. And he was just content to keep jacking it up from three. And he finally hit one in that regular season game and he threw his hands up like, oh, finally. And he did that yesterday when he hit one.
I mean, the guy is a ball hog. Let's be fair. Now, a lot of times it's out of necessity. But not when you get to the playoffs, you have to not have that approach. Jordan figured that out after Phil got there. You got to let other guys get involved. Otherwise, you ain't going to go any further than you're going to. And the entire league is waiting for this guy to get to a final. Like, the entire league is that he's too good not to. And if you run into Denver and you lose, whatever, right? No big deal. You lose a series to a hobbled Kawhi or without Kawhi,
oh,
totally different.
Oh, yeah. You lose to them without Kawhi, and we got Mavsageddon around here. Not good.
Right.
I'm not too worried. I'll still go Mavs in six. I'm not panicking. I'm not freaking out. But Don't lose this series with Kawhi hobbled or out.
No, because, I mean, you made the analogy at the start here. It felt very much like, you know, Cowboys-Packers. And if they were to lose this series without Kawhi, then that's 100%. Like the fallout will feel like the way Cowboys-Packers.
That would have to be Kid gone.
I would think so.
I would think so, because you ain't going to get rid of Luka.
Well, we thought McCarthy
was
gone.
I thought it would be McCarthy gone. But, I mean, there's a – look, they made – what was it? There was a Derek Lively dunk, and then there was a bucket from Kyrie near the rim in the second quarter. And other than that, they shot 0-for-19 in the second quarter from anywhere outside a foot up to the basket. They were 4-for-8 from the free throw line. They couldn't make free throws either. They were just historically bad in that second quarter and just did not play like themselves. This was Luka coming out the very first shot. Let me get just Zubats isolated, and then I'm going to take my step back threes. Like, that was what he determined to do in the first quarter.
Yeah, he was determined. First quarter, they were down 12. Gafford in early foul trouble. Luka started 1-for-7 from three. The team started 2-of-14. And then none of that, though, with the shooting and the shot selection, none of that excuses, like, being outworked and out-hustled. Like, as annoying as Russell Westbrook is, and he is, he brings an energy boost
every day
at home. Mm-hmm. Especially at home with the little antics and, you know, grabbing PJ Washington and then making it. That was Rodman-esque with what he did. Mm-hmm. And they took advantage of psycho Steve Ballmer and everyone else in that crowd.
Yeah, it's
what a nut.
That dude is psycho.
he is psycho.
He genuinely, I'm not even kidding. When they showed cuts him the first time and I tweeted, like, he genuinely looked like coked up. He's just like, for like a layup.
And you want to see the total opposite. Kawhi Leonard is dead inside.
He couldn't care less. He's dead outside.
He's dead inside. He's dead outside. Like, no smile, nothing. No cheer.
Nothing.
When his team's up 20-25, nothing. Someone hits a big three, nothing when they go to him on the bench. Zero.
He would be a perfect sociopath, serial killer.
I think Gavin Dawson would have even clapped in that situation.
Yeah, he might have. He might have.
Is Dawson the Kawhi of sports radio?
Oh, I think easily. But, you know, like, that's part of the energy that team has. I mean, they just have that energy from top to bottom that you need. Like, you do need that kind of energy at some point if you're going to win a series. I mean, you've got to be able to stay as, like, first of all, you got to stay focused. But second of all, you got to be up for every single game. You know Russ is going to be up for every game in the postseason.
Are you talking about Russ's energy you need or Kawhi's?
Russ's and Ballmer's.
But to be honest, you probably do need some of the Kawhi energy too. Like steady,
stoic,
there's nothing that gets me up. There's nothing that gets me down. I'm going to be the same guy no matter the situation. Like, there's value in that. And on the flip side of it, like, it burns you when guys like Luka, who we feel like has the right energy a lot of the times, like, Luka can take himself out of games at times because he gets frustrated. Like you said, Sean, when he like throws his arms up and he's like, finally made one. Like, it's clearly actively in his head in that moment, like, where I'm at with my jump shot right now.
I'm just really disappointed because this was like a step on your throat moment. Like, we're going to go in there. We're going to take game one. We're going to let you know you didn't have a chance with Kawhi, and you for damn sure don't have a chance without him. But you got to weigh all that, too, with today's NBA.
Sure.
The home court. You know, it's not as easy as I could hear Charles and Shaq. I could just hear them being like, you got to go in there and step on them. And this is a mentality problem for the Dallas Mavericks. I could hear the guys on Inside the NBA saying that. Like, look at the lead changes this weekend. Pelicans Thunder had 20 lead changes. The first 7 playoff games had 19 total. That's it.
Mm. Yeah, the home teams kind of brought it. Now, that's absolutely, you know, the Thunder situation. That's their first game. You know, like, I think a lot of people thought, all right, maybe like this, if Zion's there, that's a different story. You know, maybe people would pick the Pels. But the Thunder are just in a situation that's just classic NBA. It's not easy for you in your first rodeo.
Yeah, and I mean, I heard you guys say something at 5:30 about the idea of, like, man, the lack of want to and everything else. And normally I know we all kind of roll our eyes when it's like, well, they wanted it more than you would have. Yesterday genuinely looked like the Clippers wanted it right out of the gate and you didn't. Like, it did feel like either – you underestimated them, or you came in hungover, or you started buying your own hype about where you were at versus, boy, look how the Clippers finished the season, and we're going to, you know, step in here and just take care of these fools. I mean, I think I sent you guys the clip over the weekend. It was really hard to hear, but like Kyrie Irving talking about a practice, like, nobody let Jason Kidd ask any funny questions. You know, yeah. We're locked in. We're not handling any of that S. And it's like, oh, like now you guys got to take whatever questions they want to throw at you.
They cut it to 15 with 8 left, and then Paul George stepped up. They were down 14 with 3 left, and then Harden hit a 3. So, like, any moment where you needed them to start fumbling the ball out of bounds and go on these crazy bad streaks, they answered. All Clippers. Yeah. All Clippers game one.
And I wonder how much that's experience. Like, they're an old team. They are old. There is no doubt. This is not.
Oh, yeah.
If this thing goes 7, I mean, they'll be dragging. The Clippers will. They are not a young bunch of kids out there.
Is Dak Prescott scared, and is he trying to become the new highest-paid quarterback and player in the National Football League? Were messages being sent with Dak audio? We have for you for the 6 a.m. Club next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.